Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries. I hope you're having a great day, and I hope that you have been tuning in to this wonderful series on the names of God. And there are just so many, dozens and dozens of names for God in the Old and New Testament that Bobby, who's joining me, of course, today.
Shalom, Mitch. Well,
hi there, Bobby. It's hard to stop, isn't it? I mean, there are just so many names, and each one is just so beautiful and precious. And so we just love them. But I thought for the moment I would turn us to Psalm 23, because this is one of my, again, my favorite names for God. Last week we talked about Adonai Yireh, God the Provider, Adonai Tzidkenu, God our Righteousness. And you all know that we're dealing with names that are complex. There's a combination of at least two Hebrew words. And so the word that it's combined with is Jehovah. And you all understand that Jewish people never say that word because it's too holy. And I am Jewish, so I can say it, but, you know, I have a little bit of Jewish guilt every time I say it. So we use what oftentimes is used in the Bible, but always used in the Jewish community, and that is Adonai, at least for the most part. A few other names with that also. But in Psalm 23, David uses that name, Yod-Heh-Vov-Heh, which is from the Hebrew verb hayah, to be. So he's the eternally existing one. That's the fundamental concept when we talk about Jehovah. And so we talked about God being the provider, and I think in Psalm 23, there's just such a great illustration of this. And, you know, maybe you need Psalm 23 today, friend. You know, it's so comforting and helpful to us, especially when we go through difficult times. So the Lord, that's Jehovah, but translated Lord, the Lord is my shepherd. And then King David says, I shall not want. David, of course, had great experience and qualifications for being a Jewish king because he was a shepherd, and Jewish people are oftentimes errant sheep. Not, I wish we weren't errant. But if, you know, in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone what?
Gone astray.
Astray. Yeah. The nature of man is the same as the nature of sheep. And not only do we go astray, we follow one another in going astray. You know, you would think you'd learn if someone drops off a cliff, say, maybe I shouldn't walk there, you know. But humans are not great at learning that lesson. So what does God provide? So he makes me lie down in green pastures. And so he gives me food to eat. He leads me beside quiet waters. He gives us water to drink. He restores or refreshes my soul. And he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And then verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were used to guide the sheep, sometimes with a little swat, and sometimes with a crook of a neck, but always used for guidance. And then he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I mean, wow. It's not just a table. It's in the presence of the enemies. You anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. And then this beautiful addendum, surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's just one of our most beautiful psalms, but it all begins with understanding that the Lord is like a shepherd. The Lord knows his sheep. He loves his sheep. He cares for his sheep. He provides for his sheep, whether it be water to drink, food to eat, protection from enemies, or a banquet in the midst of those who are hostile. He is always there with us. And we, indeed, if we know Jesus as our Messiah, who, of course, is the great shepherd. So you pair this psalm, of course, with John chapter 10. He is the great shepherd, and we are his sheep. And he knows He knows our voice. He knows our cries. He knows our prayers. He listens to us. He guides us. And so if you don't know the Lord as your shepherd today, I hope that you will trust Jesus as your Messiah and come to know the one who is the great shepherd of the sheep, and you will never be disappointed. Boy, Bobby, I still remember the day I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I was one lost Jewish kid. Mm. You know, I was only 19 years old, and I had trimmed down my drug use because it almost killed me, and I think God gave me strength to do that before I even got saved, because I would have had no strength within myself to do it. But I was rational enough when I read through the New Testament to say, wow, you know, if I'm going to know God, then I need to know him. And so if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you will come to know him who is the great shepherd who will care for all your needs. He loves you. He died for you. He will guard you. He will keep you. He will feed you. He will be with you forever. Great psalm, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one thing I love about Psalm 23 and just this idea of God being our shepherd, Adonai Roi, right? The Lord is my shepherd, is that the life of a sheep is not easy. It's not always green pastures and still waters. Sometimes there are dark valleys and threats that come at us from every angle, and danger on the road and the treacherous path that we might be on, or treacherous experiences and trials and tribulations that we encounter in this life. But the one thing that is constant is found in this name of God, Adonai Roi, right? Jehovah, my shepherd, the Lord, my shepherd. The shepherd doesn't abandon his sheep. The shepherd doesn't leave the sheep to their own devices. The shepherd gives the sheep freedom to roam and to walk and to enjoy creation. But at the same time, he doesn't, again, just turn us over to the enemy. No, the shepherd is the shepherd, and the sheep belong to the shepherd, and we are his. And he guides us, and he leads us, and he prepares a table before our enemies, and he anoints our head with oil to the point where our cup overflows. And the goodness and the loving kindness chases after us, runs after us from the heart of our shepherd. And I know for me, Mitch, in my life, in my walk with Yeshua, in my walk with Jesus, there have been numerous occasions where I've needed him, and I've known him as my shepherd, where it's been situations that were seemingly impossible, but yet he came through and provided and protected and delivered and met the needs that we had.
And, you know, I'd like to add something to that, Bobby, because, you know, I love the Jesus stories, the parables and the stories. You know, mm-hmm. He's just a master rabbi storyteller, you know? And that's one of the things that impressed me. And he tells the story of the sheep, of the 99, mm-hmm. and of the one that wandered. And, you know, I love that. And, you know, today you might be that one. Maybe you know the Lord and you've wandered off, and your hunger and your thirst is driving you back to the Savior, but you're lost. You know, sometimes you're away from God and you just don't know how to get back. And, you know, what's the route? Well, we say the route is repentance. Well, you know, that's true. The kindness of God leads us to repentance. And he doesn't always swat us. Sometimes he just puts his arms around us and or puts out his hand, so to speak, to say, come on back, I love you. And if you're away from the Lord today, I guarantee you he's waiting for you just to turn around. Like the prodigal son, the father was running down the hill before the kid got there. You know, he wants you back probably more than you want to be back. And so if the names of God mean anything to you, which I hope they do, then understand that he is your good shepherd. And if you're a wandering sheep, you can come back to him at any point. And I hope that you'll take that and think about that if you happen to be that one. Bobby, one of the other names for God that I absolutely love, I think is just great, and And, you know, this we might be in this series for the next 3 years, probably, you know, because we won't, but I'd like to be. So in the book of Judges, chapter 6, we have the story of one of my favorite anti-heroes, Gideon. When I preach on this topic, I call it a lack of character study.
It's clever.
Yeah, well, when the angel comes up to Gideon, you know, he's hiding in a wine press, you know. And so, you know, he wasn't the bravest character. And how many signs did he need but before he decided to do anything about it? I mean, I love the last sign was being in the camp of the enemy and hearing how he's going to be victorious. I mean, it took the voice of the enemy to convince Gideon to be obedient to God and to set aside his fierce 300, was it, Bobby?
Yeah. And it gives us hope, though. It gives us hope.
So I love Gideon because I identify with him because, you know, he not only had lack of character, he was a character. So now it just happens to be my grandson's name, so I'm getting a new perspective on
nice.
Gideon. Yeah, so, you know, when I look at the little one-year-old, I say to myself, yeah, I better be nicer to Gideon, you know. So when Gideon, verse 22, saw that he was the angel of the Lord, the one who came to visit him, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord then said to him, "Peace to you, but don't fear, you shall not die." Why would he say that? Well, we learned earlier in the book of Exodus a couple of weeks ago that if you would see God, see his face, then you would be killed. That's why in Exodus 34, when Moses was in the cleft of the rock, which is where the hymn writer got it, he put his hand over Moses so that Moses would not see the glory of God and wouldn't stare into the face of God and die. And so that level of revelation is too much for man to handle, and so God is always so good. And isn't it wonderful, though, that he took on flesh and we got to see God himself in flesh without having to die?
Amen.
You know, not bad. So the Lord said to him, "Peace to you, and you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord. And again, the word Lord there, it's you know, I wish it wasn't translated sometimes. Then you would know that's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, that's Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in other words, in this whole incident, Gideon is learning something more about the nature and character of Jehovah,
right,
of God. That's why it's so important. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it Adonai. I can't even say it. Jehovah Shalom.
Right.
Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. And I think that is a... I still can't quite figure out why Gideon did that. I mean, he was sort of in the midst of battle, but he realized that the Lord was his peace. And so that's really wonderful. And of course, Jesus is Sar Shalom. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? It's Isaiah 9:7, one of the little Hebrew couplets in that passage. He's wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace.
Yeah. You know what I love about this, Mitch, about this whole conversation and study on the names of God? This is not just an academic exercise. Like, as we dig into the Hebrew and look at the different translations of these words and ponder the names of God, this is for a purpose. This is it's hitting home, you know? We're learning about who our God is as he's revealed himself to us in his word and in these names and in these different circumstances where these names arise in the text. And this is meaningful. This is intended to impact us and to shape our understanding of who God is and who we are.
And it's really life-changing.
It really is.
Yeah. But again, I think that the names of God are windows into his very nature.
Yeah.
And so that's why they're so beautiful. And of course, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He was predicted by that Hebrew couplet of names. He was the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And he brought peace through his sacrifice. And each day he brings peace to our hearts by the presence of his Spirit. So, dear friend, today, if you are filled with a little bit of anxiety or fear, and Lord knows this world can give it to you, if you are, then remember who lives in your heart, the Prince of Peace. God himself, Jehovah, the great I Am, lives in your heart. And if you are in need of peace, all you need to do is stop for a moment, maybe close your eyes and pray and just say, Lord, I know that you are the one who brings peace. Please bring peace to my soul.
Well, right now we're going to hear from Ayla Baum, a Jewish woman who tried to connect with God in her local synagogue, but she could not feel him there. And when a Christian author introduced her to the Messiah, she knew she had found the connection and relationship that she was looking for.
When I was 9 years old, we moved to the United States from Jerusalem. And the number one song in the country was Anne Marie, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. And I'll never forget, my mom comes into the car and I'm like, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. My mom says, what did you say, Mamat? And I said, I'm singing the song. She's like, Lomrim Jesus, we don't say Jesus. But why? In Hebrew, she says, Zeyeshu. I grew up not being able to say that name. My son at the age of 5 was diagnosed with Asperger's. He was not verbal. He was very distant. He was the cause of me going back to school and becoming a special education teacher. I knew a lot about science. I studied a lot about everything, but I really never even opened the Bible. Ironically, I was teaching Hebrew school as a side job, teaching the prayers, teaching the liturgy. I mean, I knew everything. I had seen my father pray the prayers and put on the tallit, and I know all of the rhetoric and everything that, you know, goes along with being Jewish, but I didn't feel any connection to God. I would sit at synagogue, and I tried to feel something. I tried to feel God. And it was like the Chagall stained glass windows and everybody around me and the Bima and the Ark and the Torah being taken out. And I remember feeling nothing. At my school, I worked at an after school program, and there was a woman that had written a book called Jesus, Can I Talk to You? So she said to me, I don't have money to hire an editor. Would you help me edit my book? And I said, well, I don't know anything about Jesus. So I do know about writing. I know about English. I know about commas. I know about semicolons. I just don't know anything about Jesus. It was a lot of stuff from the Old Testament. And I'm like, and I would see things like, you know, this is from Ecclesiastes, or this is from, you know, Samuel or Kings. And I was like, these are our books. This came from the Jewish Bible. I never read the Bible. I read about the fact that he would be pierced, and that's exactly what happened to Jesus. And for the first time, the Bible came alive to me, and it's Isaiah 53. And, you know, I said, how can you miss this? It's like right there. It's right there in the scripture, in our book. Saying the prayer and asking for him to come into my life, and I accepted him as my savior, even though I just became a believer in the Jewish Messiah, but in Jesus, whose name I can't even say at the private Jewish school. Whoa, this is too weird. The grandson of the head of our Judaics program, and the first year that he was there, he, you know, would talk to me, and I would say, oh, it's time to go to tefillah. You know, students were required to go to prayer, and you must go to tefillah. He's like, I hate tefillah. I'm like, your grandfather is the head of the Judaics program of the school. And so he comes up, and he puts a kippah on my head, and he's like, you're like a rabbi, because rabbi in Hebrew means teacher. He goes, I could just see it. One day you're going to become a Hasidic. And I said, no, 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 Joshua. Totally the furthest thing I'm going to become. He says to me, he goes, I don't understand you. What kind, like, do you keep Shabbat? What kind of a Jew are you? What do you mean, what kind of a Jew am I? And he goes, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is. There's something different about you. And I said, Joshua, sit down. I really respect you. And I'm going to tell you what's different about me is that I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And his eyes got wide and he stood up and he pointed at me. He's like, I knew it. I knew it. You're always talking about love and stuff. And the students know. They know. I can talk about God all day. See, I couldn't do that in public school. Public school, you can't talk about God. But at a private Jewish school, I could talk about God all day. And, you know, sometimes they'll go, you know, they test me. And sometimes I get really close and they really question, like, what am I really saying? But if they ever come to me and say, what do you really believe, like Joshua does or did, I would tell them. I believe that Jesus is my Messiah. Coming out of the Messianic closet, that's pretty much a good way to put this. I've gone completely against the grain. You know, when you go against the grain, like, you get splinters. It's not easy. It's not been an easy path for me, especially knowing what I know and hearing what I hear, how the rabbis talk about him, how the students mock him. And I say, okay, I'm here for you. I want to stay here, you know. And people ask me, aren't you afraid if they find out at your school that you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that you'll get fired? And I'm like, so? God will always provide. He has through everything, and he always delivers. He took it on the cross for me. Jesus died so that I could be born again. The greatest pain is to give up your own child. How much God must have loved us to give up his only son for us.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we want you to know that your faithful partnership with this ministry is enabling us to introduce Jewish people to the Messiah each and every day. And you can help us continue to build on our 129 years of faithful service by letting us know that you're praying for this ministry. To connect online, just go to chosenpeople.com/radio. And while you're there, be sure to request your free gift.
Well, Bobby, if any of our listeners are a bit confused or are trying to understand what's happening in Israel today, I don't blame them. Because I don't blame you, dear friend, because I'm trying to figure it out as well. And I'm there almost every month, and it's really difficult to figure out exactly what's happening. But one thing I know for sure, that whatever is happening is in one way or another the fulfillment of prophecy. And so you want to get Harold Sevner's book, Israel's Glorious Future. This short but concise guide will help walk you through Israel's history, beginning with God's covenant with Abraham, all the way to the new heavens and new earth that's found in the book of Revelation. It's a must-have reading guide for anyone who has a heart for the Jewish people. So request your free copy today at chosenpeople.com/radio. We really want you to have this book. Go to chosenpeople.com/radio and order your free copy.
You can also ask for Harold Sevner's book, Israel's Glorious Future, by calling us at 888-2-YESHUA. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus. Once again, that number is 888-293-7482. And now, let's wrap up today's program with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha V'yasem lecha shalom, V'yasem lecha shalom, V'yasem lecha shalom, V'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem Shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.